When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday. It is Friday on News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer with you for the next 2 hours. Would love to hear from you. What's on your mind? 803-0930-*930. Do want to give you this update. There was a flip over accident right by the station here at Maple and Flint. Now, the last update I had was that crews were on scene and traffic was still moving in the side lanes, but the two middle lanes, it would have been better to avoid because traffic was backed up almost to the entrance of the station here. Have not gotten an update in about 10 minutes. So if anyone's driven by that area, is the accident cleaned up? Just let us know. We'd love to hand that information off to our listeners. You can text us at 803-0930-*930. What a week it has been. And, you know, there's obviously a lot going on, a lot more than what happened on Tuesday. But I would feel naked if I didn't start the show a little bit about still going back to Tuesday. And the reason I'm doing this is not to repeat the same stuff I've said all week. It's we're getting new audio in. We're getting new comments from elected officials, including Mark Poloncarz and Sean Ryan. So yesterday, I'd like to think that I'm responsible for this. But I know I'm not. Like, I don't have that kind of ego. I don't think, oh, look what I made them do. I realize I'm not there. Maybe one day I'm not there yet, right? I don't have the pull of a Bellavia or of a Bowerly. I know that. Yeah, I know that. I know where I am. But yesterday talking about how Mark Poloncarz, you know, a year ago had put out that very condescending statement on Chris Scanlon. Chris is going to be a great Democrat. And by the way, yes, still disappointed that Chris Scanlon's like, yes, I will. What do you need me to do? Oh, you want me to endorse Zellner? Okay. But yesterday, Sean Ryan and Mark Poloncarz were announcing these events downtown. We'll get to that. Don't you think Joe Beamer, who talks about downtown all the time, is not going to key in on this little announcement? Of course I am. But what is the fallout? Now, remember, Hardline, I wanted, just to be honest with you, I wanted three of the four segments on Hardline to be Democrats responding to Tuesday's primary. That is the big story. That is the political stunner. If Jeremy Zellner wins, no one's talking about it. We are not talking about Tuesday's primary. What happened? No offense to Karen Hoke, but if Karen Hoke still lost by 16 points, but Zellner won, we're not talking about Tuesday's primary on Friday. But Zellner lost by 11 percentage points. So we are talking about it still on Friday. Mark Poloncarz and Mayor Sean Ryan gave their thoughts to our Jim Fink, and here is part of what they had to say.
It wasn't totally surprising. I think some of us were looking at it going into Election Day, realizing that it may not be exactly the endorsed candidate's night. That doesn't surprise me, and that's what you saw in New York City, and that's what you saw elsewhere. One of my colleagues in Maryland who was running for a similar position lost, even though he was considered the front runner. So it wasn't just a Buffalo thing. It kind of happened all over the country. And that's what you see in primaries. And you saw it on the right. look at the race to replace Stefanik. They had a Marine that was basically supported by the entire community. And then Donald Trump endorsed this gentleman, I think Cosentino, and he won.
Yeah, can we just Trump 10 years into 10 years? He's been the president, you know, since, obviously Biden was then for 4 years there, but Trump's had an influence for 10 years. Let's not compare the endorsed Trump candidate winning to the socialist candidates winning throughout the Democratic Party, but we'll let the county executive continue.
So you often see the extremes in the primaries, and then, of course, it changes when the general elections come. And there is a general election for the assembly district. I've reached out and communicated with Adam Bojack. He's got my full support. And I think he'll be a great assembly member. We're three strong candidates in the Democratic race for assembly. And while Karen Hoke ran a good race, the Democratic Party decided to go in a different direction, and that's okay. That's why we have primaries.
I think you saw in Buffalo and all over New York State and America that Democrats are looking for something different. They're not looking for traditional candidates who come out of the traditional mold. So the Erie County Democratic Committee, you know, we need to look inside ourselves to make sure that the candidates that we're offering are reflective of what the people are looking for. And I think election night showed there was two candidates supported fully by the party who the voters fully rejected.
Yeah, so there's Ryan and Poloncarz. Poloncarz went on to say, personally, I just want people to get out and vote. I'm concerned the numbers are so low. And then finishes with, I think Jeremy is going through a period of reflection. This guy, I think Jeremy's, he really talks to people like he is the be all and end all. You know, Chris is going to make a great Democrat and government official. The guy's an adult. And now, I think Jeremy's going through a period of reflection. I mean, my gosh. You know who needs to go through a period of reflection? You, Mr. County Executive. You should go through several periods of reflection. Tell us what you discover. But it's just, to me, the fallout continues. And no one wants to talk. No one wants to go in an interview format and talk about this. Again, I tried to get Mayor Ryan. I was told he's not available this weekend. Like, you would think he'd want to come on and talk about all these exciting events they have planned for downtown, because you can't play pickleball anywhere else but downtown Buffalo. By the way, so the file continues. Jeremy Zeller finally did talk to Channel 4. Here's a recap of that discussion and what Zeller says for the future.
Despite being the incumbent and the Democratic Party's endorsed candidate, Jeremy Zeller lost to Assemblyman John Rivera in Tuesday's primary election for the 61st State Senate seat. Angelica Gallagher joins us now with what the results of this election could mean moving forward. Angelica?
Yeah, Marley, many say the outcome of this primary election could signal a larger progressive shift within the Democratic Party, something both Democrats and Republicans say could have surprising impacts on November's general election on a local, state, and even federal level. That was Assemblyman John Rivera Tuesday night after defeating incumbent Jeremy Zeller for the 61st state Senate seat. This comes despite Zeller having the backing of the Erie County Democrats, as well as a major fundraising advantage.
I was surprised we were caught off guard a little bit.
Zeller says he believes many things impacted the election, including the progressive wave and low voter turnout from the suburbs.
I also think there was an important assembly primary that kind of raised the turnout in a big way in my opponent's base. Plus, the campaign was pretty negative. I think that drove people home.
Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz, alongside political analysts, weighing in Thursday.
A little disappointed in how this race was being run. Run on your issues. You can criticize your opponent. That's fine, as long as you're criticizing them on a legitimate issue. If it's not a legitimate issue and you're just...
And who's the decider of that? Mark Poloncarz? Mark Poloncarz is the decider of, is it a legitimate issue or not? Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's call Mr. Maturity, Mark Poloncarz. Mark, is this a legitimate issue? Can I run on this issue, Mr. County Executive, please? We have to ask Mark's permission. Go on. I'm sorry.
Just attacking to attack, that's not good.
we did run a strong campaign. We have a lot of accomplishments in the last 4 months.
Rivera's campaign manager, Katie Campos, believes they won for good reason, as he now heads to November uncontested.
What we had was leadership. I think John Rivera's leadership, he's a collaborative, service-oriented leader who puts people first, and that showed up. Yep. This campaign came back down to leadership and labor, and those are two things that our campaign had.
Some say Rivera's victory is part of a broader trend as more progressive candidates saw success against party-backed Democrats.
That's what you see in primaries. Of course, it changes when the general elections come.
Political analysts who weighed in disagree.
I think any Democrat establishment, traditional Democrat who says this is nothing but just a minor blip is in denial, because this is happening around the country. They want major change, turnover, and the establishment is not what they're looking for.
For Zellner, he says he believes he still has full support from his party and plans on running for Democratic Committee Chair re-election.
I've had hundreds of calls and texts over the last 48 hours of well-wishers and people that want me to run and are encouraging me to run. And, you know, we've ran a really strong organization. We're as united as we've ever been.
Political analyst Jack O'Donnell believes otherwise.
To have a process where the party leader picks himself, right, looks far and wide and decides I'm the one for this race, I think that's turned off a lot of voters, and I think it's going to have consequences.
As many now focus on widespread elections come November, Carl Calabrese says Republicans see this shift as an opportunity.
If the party continues, the Democrat Party continues to move this far left, Republicans will have a real opportunity here to drive home the difference between their position and the more leftist position that the Democrats are moving in.
In Buffalo.
Isn't it great that the two smartest people in that rap were two people part of our primary night coverage, Carl and Jack? I really appreciate both of them. And, you know, obviously Jack and I disagree politically on a lot of things, but I think he's got a better handle on what's going on in that party than Jeremy Zellner does, than Mark Poloncarz does. I mean, I think Jack O'Donnell's exactly right when he says, you know, you picked yourself. I go back to what I said yesterday. Zellner risked everything to go to Senate. Okay? It paid off in the special election. It didn't pay off in the primary. And I still, you know, I know I'm having a difficult time getting Democrats to talk on Hardline Sunday, except for our good friend Mitch Nowakowski. However, I do think in the coming weeks, it will be more than just Jack O'Donnell speaking up for Democrats saying, you know, maybe we do need to go back to last year and see how this entire shenanigans took place, right? We had the primary, which was all an effort to get Jeremy Zellner in Sean Ryan's seat. And I think, you know, it's more than just this primary. You have to look at what Zellner's done over the last year to be in this position. And, you know, I would love to know what John Rivera thinks. Maybe we should get Rivera on the show. I'd love to know what John Rivera thinks. Does he believe that Jeremy Zellner should still be the chair of the Democratic Party? Now, in that clip, you didn't hear Poloncarz say anything about Rivera. He talked about BoJack, but I reached out to Jim Fink, who, you know, was there, did the story. And Jim says, no, Poloncarz said he called John and is backing him and said he is also sending money to John Rivera's campaign. There is that. And we'll see what kind of support he gets from the party. But you saw Jeremy Zellner in this Channel 4 piece yesterday. I mean, he was still referring to Rivera as his opponent. Like, bro, the election's over. You're allegedly the chair of the party. Are you going to put the full party resources behind him or not? And I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. It's still, as I said, if Jeremy Zellner wins on Tuesday, we're talking about it Wednesday, and then you're not talking about Tuesday locally. Obviously, you're talking about the socialist wave happening downstate, but you're not talking about the Zellner fallout. 3 days later, and we still have this guy running around saying he has the support of his party. No. Jeremy, you have the support of the suits in your party. You have the support of Mark Poloncarz. You have the support. I mean, not even Sean Ryan was giving him support. Sean Ryan says, let me make sure I have this right. I don't want to misquote him. Sean Ryan, talking about the win by Rivera. I'll have to find it during the break. I thought I had it ready, but he said something about, you know, we have to maybe re-look at some things. So not even Sean Ryan is saying that Jeremy Zellner should. He's not saying he shouldn't, but he's not saying he, you know, that it's a given he should stay the chair of the party. And again, I'm not looking at, you know, someone like polling cars or other elected officials who are blinded by, you know, the party and what the party tells them to do. Remember, these are people who take their notes from Jeremy Zellner. Again, I'll go back to someone like a Jack O'Donnell, who, you know, Jack O'Donnell, yes, he's helping these campaigns, but I mean, Jack O'Donnell has a very good way of being not on, he's on the inside, but can look at things like he's on the outside. You get what I'm saying? And I would beg to say that a majority of Democrat voters, people who are actually involved, people who showed up and vote, I don't think they have the confidence in Jeremy Zellner that his buddies in the committee have. And I think it'll be very interesting. Yes, can you get the committee to vote for you to be the chair? Yes. Apparently, you can't get your voters to vote for you to be in Senate. So it's very interesting. Like, for someone like me, who is just a political nerd, I know for a lot of you, this is probably like, Joe, please move on to your next topic. I'm sick of hearing about this, and I get that, and we are. I'm not going to spend any more time on this primary on my weekday show. Obviously, Hardline, that's all we're talking about. But on my weekday show, this is it, until something breaks, like Jeremy Zellner resigns his chair. So I get it. But I am a political nerd. And to follow something like this, I mean, again, this isn't even my district. I live on the other side of transit from this district, all right? I'm represented by the great Pat Gallivan. State Senator Pat Gallivan. But it is very interesting to follow this. With the way Zellner moved things around, the way Zellner, I mean, again, no offense to Sean Ryan, and I hope this is not why he keeps declining Hardline interviews, but I don't believe Sean Ryan would be the mayor of Buffalo right now if Jeremy Zellner didn't want to be state senator. I don't think there's a primary to oust the incumbent if Jeremy Zellner didn't want to be state senator. I truly believe that. 803-0930, star 930. As I said, I don't plan on talking about this for the rest of the show. I know people are sick of it. It's very interesting to follow if you're a political nerd like me. When we come back, I will take your calls on it, though. So if there's something you want to add to this discussion, Democrats out there, I've been begging, Democrats, do you think Jeremy Zellner should be the chair of your party heading into this election and into next year's county executives race? I mean, really, think about that. Do Democrats want Jeremy Zellner? And I'm not talking about Democrats in elected office. No offense to Sean Lavin. I'm not talking about Sean Lavin. I'm talking about the everyday Democrats. Do you want Jeremy Zellner to continue to be the chairman of your county party? 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, on what is a hot night for downtown Buffalo, multiple events going on, we got some very telling bad news for downtown Buffalo. And again, I'm cheering for downtown. But wait till you hear what a popular downtown coffee shop did to their hours. We'll talk about that and much, much more. It's Joe Beamer on a Friday, getting you ready for the weekend on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers, and someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money, and most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Beamer on a Friday on News Radio 930 WBEN. Let's give a shout out to James Stelliano, working 9 to 9 today. When the station needs him, Jimmy is always here. And obviously, a round of applause. Very, very appreciative. Not only is Jimmy great at his job, he's also a great guy. So, Jimmy, thank you. Love you. And if it weren't for Jimmy, I don't know. We might not be on the air today. So, thanks to Jimmy Bowerly, I and Puckett can all have our show today with Tanner enjoying one final day of vacation. 803-0930, star 930. So, as I said, it is a hot night for downtown Buffalo. I'm very excited for all the great things to happen. You've got a concert going on downtown. You've got the draft going on downtown. Great. I love when things are happening. I love when there is a reason for people to go downtown, okay? I am pro downtown. I am pro bringing Western New York back, okay? But I have to be critical and I have to call out the realities, okay? Tonight is great. Tonight is great for Buffalo. And I hope people spend their money. I hope people, I hope it's a great night for all local businesses. And I know it will be. But we're being told, hey, downtown's coming back. Nothing to worry about, right? We have over 20% vacancies. We have a hotel that with 400 plus rooms, when you have the guy who runs Visit Buffalo saying we need about 400 more rooms downtown, we have a hotel downtown where we are now letting the owner just continue to string the city along. Hey, I'm not for eminent domain, okay? I don't think the government should just take property from people, all right? And I completely disagreed, and my good friend Mitch Nowakowski knows we don't see eye to eye on this. I completely disagree with the way they treated the bricks on Cobblestone, okay? I'm fine saying that. I think, hey, let the owner do what the owner wants to do, and if it turns out to just be a lot, well, guess what? It's less of an eyesore than that pile is right now. But when it comes to the Grand Hotel, like, if you're going to move fast with something, move fast with the Grand Hotel, not with the pile of bricks on Cobblestone. Again, that eminent domain process was so fast, yet we had Scanlon, who had started the process, then Ryan comes in, ends the Scanlon process, and now we have a whole new process going on, which I have no idea exactly what it is. But you have that just sitting there empty. Again, I don't understand why you would move so quickly on the pile of bricks, but not on the Buffalo Grand. Anyway, you go around downtown. Businesses are leaving. That is a fact. The only thing to move downtown lately is a business from Amherst. Now, Spot Coffee, very popular Buffalo coffee place, right? Ton of regional locations. They have a very popular location on Chippewa. I've been there on Saturday mornings a long time ago when I would be downtown on Saturday mornings. Their Chippewa location has now changed their hours and is closing at 4 Monday through Friday. 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. By the way, I should point out they open at 7 a.m. Closing at 4 p.m. If you need a sign of what's going on in downtown Buffalo, look no further than Spot Coffee, now closing at 4 p.m. That just shows you the traffic downtown is, it's business people. I mean, 25,000 less business people than before the pandemic, but business people. And unfortunately, that's it, right? I mean, even if you talk to bar owners on Chippewa, yeah, they have, you know, the home by 10 where people my age try to go pretend that they're still in college. Believe me, I look for every excuse I can to act like I'm still in college. But they're not having the business they used to have. Places have closed up. Very popular restaurants have closed up. 4 p.m. closing for Spot Coffee on Chippewa. For me, that is a sign. Well, there's no reason to stay open past 4. If there's a reason to stay open past 4, they would. There's nothing going on. And now people head home earlier, right? Listen to rush hour. Well, not today, because Fridays in the summer is a whole new ballgame. But listen to rush hour in the afternoon. Traffic, happy hour. Rush hour has probably moved an hour sooner. People are leaving the office sooner. Those who still go to the office. But that's very telling. And again, a great question for Mitch Nowakowski on Hardline Sunday. But that is telling of where downtown Buffalo is. And we go back to, as I said a few days ago, when the rubber duck was last downtown. And we were duck crazy. Okay? And there was kind of this feeling of a comeback for downtown Buffalo. And by the way, we still have some pieces of that, right? Yes, the waterfront, better than it was when I was in college. That's good. I'm give credit where credit's due. Explore more, amazing. Amazing place to take the kids, okay? Harbor Center, thanks to the Pagulas. It's not just a decrepit parking lot. Good stuff. But that has not transitioned into people going downtown, except for days like tonight when downtown Buffalo will be hopping. You'll go downtown and say, wow, wait a minute. Am I sure I'm in downtown Buffalo? And that's great. But there is a middle of downtown that is completely dead. The middle of Main Street downtown. Dead. And what's the plan to bring it back? And I'm going to, again, say, I applaud Sean Ryan for trying to do anything to get people to come downtown, for getting business involved, for making something to do downtown. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not sure this is what it is. And we will get to those events after we get to Bill in West Seneca. Bill, thanks for hanging on.
Joe, thanks for taking my call. Hey, if you have rabbit ears on your TV, the over-the-air channels, you got channel 17, and I believe it's channel 17.1. There's a camera. It's on 24 hours a day. It's focused on the entrance to the Skyway leaving Buffalo, and they play classical music.
Oh.
You can turn that on and watch the traffic dribble out of downtown Buffalo. There's no traffic jams or anything like that.
I am going to have to go find this channel. That sounds delightful, Bill. I have to keep my eye on downtown.
All right. I hope it comes back, but thank God it's Friday. You have a good weekend, Joe.
Hey, Bill, you too. Appreciate it. You have a great weekend. Bill in West Seneca. I'll have to check that out. Okay, so again, I'm going to give Mayor Sean Ryan credit of trying to get events downtown. I think we should bring back Thursday in the Square. But there was this announcement of Meet Me Downtown. The initiative aims to boost downtown Buffalo.
Western New York Regional President.
Okay, here is the story.
Launching a new effort to get more events and people downtown.
This is all in an effort to boost the area's small businesses by bringing more people downtown. Our Rob Petrie was at a news conference this afternoon inside City Hall hearing from local leaders. Rob?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Jeff and Marley. This partnership between the city and M&T Bank and Erie County is something local leaders believe will do wonders for downtown, which they hope provides an economic boost right in the heart of Buffalo.
We know the city of Buffalo, acting alone, is not going to fix what ails downtown.
A new collaborative public-private partnership between the city of Buffalo and M&T Bank is hoping to bring vibrancy to downtown in the form of a series of summer events that city, county, and local officials hope provides an economic boost to local small businesses.
We all work together. We all bring our individual expertises to the table. That's how we're going to start moving the ball forward on downtown.
Mayor Sean Ryan holding a press conference inside City Hall Thursday morning alongside Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz and M&T Bank to officially announce the Meet Me Downtown initiative.
M&T has always been a strong investor in our community, but with COVID, everything changed. And what we realized...
He had to bring up COVID again. I mean, he's got a point. Everything changed because of your leadership. Everything changed during COVID because of your leadership. You didn't push back on Andrew Cuomo. You actually doubled down. You reclosed gyms and restaurants and bars as a county in December of 21. Yet things happened during COVID because of your failed leadership. Because of your power-hungry failed leadership. Look at me, look at me. We'll shut you down, we'll shut you down. You are the reason COVID ruined downtown Buffalo. I get it. Cuomo made a lot of the decisions as the governor, but we had no pushback from any local official. Shame on all of them. It's your failed COVID policies. And by the way, Mayor Sean Ryan, who was there in state senate for bail reform, it's on you too. People aren't going downtown. I mean, my gosh, we bring it up. First three texts, crime, crime, crime. You've got convicted murderers pulling knives on people downtown and getting released with a court appearance. Are you kidding me? Yeah, hey, let's go on downtown. I love downtown, and I've never felt unsafe downtown. But when you hear the stories, I can understand why people might not want to go downtown. And Sean Ryan, you were there. You didn't push back on bail reform. Mark Poloncarz, you were the county executive. Every day you told us you were going to shut us down. We couldn't go to Bills games. You took pride in it. So it's on both of you. A lot of the failures of downtown, a lot of the reasons businesses are packing up and leaving, a lot of reasons why businesses never recovered from COVID. They never got their business back. You took their livelihood from them. It's because of your failed leadership. And now 6 years later, we continue to blame COVID? Look in the mirror. You talk about how Jeremy Zellner needs reflection. Bro, you need reflection. You did this. You go down, and everyone says, well, it's the warm weather. You go to Florida and Georgia, where governors said, hey, we're going to give people the option to make their own decisions. COVID didn't hit their downtowns as bad as it hit downtowns in New York State. Miami didn't get hit as bad from COVID. Atlanta didn't get hit as bad from COVID because of competent leadership, something that is very foreign in the city of Buffalo. Let's continue.
Is the events that worked 20 years ago weren't going to work anymore.
The effort featuring six headline events to take place this summer, including Pickle Fest, several block parties, and even a street soccer cup and World Cup watch party on July 18th that's spearheaded by the Chippewa Alliance.
So we're going to be activating Chippewa from 8 in the morning until like 9 p.m. before the notorious Chippewa late night business happens. So activating those times, which is considered the off hours, bringing the community back downtown when you have hotel guests walking out looking for a coffee, somewhere to eat, and they see people walking the streets, you get that sense of community and that sense of safety.
And for anyone questioning whether or not it's safe to go downtown, Mayor Ryan and County Executive Poloncarz driving home the following message.
Just this summer, there's been unfortunate murders in Tonawanda, in Cheektowaga, and in Buffalo. So nobody says, I don't want to go to Tonawanda because I'm afraid of it being dangerous. But the crime statistics in the city of Buffalo are at an all-time low.
I often, as a county executive, go out to the suburbs and are like, well, why should I go to downtown Buffalo? Is it safe? And I go, yes, it's safe.
Oh, that's it. Because when I look at Mark Poloncarz, I think of someone who's in touch with reality. you know what people, and this is, again, this is being so removed. And I'm hoping Mayor Ryan, now that he's out of Albany and he's in an executive position and he's seen things firsthand, I hope he realizes the mistakes he made in Senate when it comes to bail reform. But no one wants to hear Sean Ryan or Mark Poloncarz, and no offense to either men, no one wants to hear them say, oh yeah, it's safe. Ha ha, it's safe. That's like when people ask Jeremy Zellner, are the elections secure? And he laughs at them. Do you remember that on Hardline a few years ago? People don't want to hear you belittle them and talk to them in a condescending way and say, of course it is. People want to see the safety. They want to see officers. They want to see security. That's what people want to see. They want to see an influx of police officers at these events. But Buffalo can't get police officers because no one wants to join the force, because in New York State, anytime anything happens involving a police officer, you've got Albany going after the police officer before any kind of investigation. So when you have defund the police type people running your city, running your state, I can see why people don't want to be a police officer. But that's what people want to see. They don't want Mark pulling cars. I mean, again, I know Mark has had his run-ins with the police. He understands. But people want to see the police. They want to see the security. You go downtown, you see a cop car on the corner. You see an officer patrolling the street. Okay, I feel safe. There's security here. There's protection here. You telling them that in a condescending tone is not going to make anyone want to go downtown. Like, is it? I'm not the smartest person in the room. I'm far from the smartest person in the room. And I'm the only one in the room right now. Okay? But I know exactly what people are talking about. I don't know how these elected officials don't understand, or they're just playing dumb, because they do understand, but they can't say anything. Like, either you're playing dumb or you have no idea what people are asking you. When they say, I don't feel safe going downtown, that means I want to see an officer. You know, when you used to go to Thursday in the Square, I hate to keep on bringing it up, you would see multiple police cars, officers patrolling, security. That's what people want to see. They want to know where they're going is secure. And if something were to happen, there's an officer there. There's a drive of force there. They don't believe that right now. And why would they? The Buffalo police are losing more officers to retirement than gaining. That's been pretty public. And now the city of Buffalo is not offering police to certain events. You have to pay. You have to foot the bill. Okay, well, I'm going to go to Amherst then. They'll give me security. Do you understand what I'm saying? 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the program. It gets you on the Volkswagen Horch Park text board. Patrick wants to talk about Zellner. Hey, Patrick, thanks for hanging on.
Well, sure. Thank you, Joe. You know, Jeremy Zellner, of course, will be reelected as chairman because he controls the committee men and women. Who are the committee people? They're all Zellner people. Not all, but the far vast majority of them work for the county or one of the agencies or have relatives. So they're all connected like that, and they're all going to vote for him. Anyone looking to challenge Zellner for the chairmanship would have had to run committee races, and those happened during the primary, and it just did not happen. There were a few in Ellicott and a few in Fillmore and Niagara, but that's more connected to the Rivera people, as well as Leah Halton Pope. People want to be a committeeman to vote for who replaces her. But yeah, so he'll get reelected. Jeremy will, no problem there at all.
But isn't that just telling that isn't the committee supposed to be a representative of the members of the party? And it's just showing that it's not. It's just a club. It's an exclusive club, and you, the voter, have no say.
Well, that's right. The committee members are supposed to represent their, you know, six block area of their neighborhood, all the Democrats who live within their neighborhood or whatever neighborhood they run, because they can run in any neighborhood within the same assembly district. Now, Ryan, of course, stayed quiet. No endorsement for Zellner nor Rivera, because Ryan cannot afford to lose city voters who supported Rivera. You know, he doesn't want to do that. And of course, he and Rivera have been longtime liberal Democrat friends for years and years. They think alike. They're way to the left of most people. And, you know, now, Joe, I got to take issue, though. First of all, let me say this. I think that the fact that these socialist Democrats got elected downstate in New York, as well as here with Rivera and the gentleman from the 149th, Bojack, will affect Kathy Hochul. Now, how? Well, it's the tale of two Kathys, of course. She goes down to New York City, five boroughs, and talks a good game to those socialist down there. You'd think that she's a socialist, some of her speeches to them. And then she comes back up here to Buffalo and elsewhere here in upstate and acts like she's a conservative or a moderate. Yeah, okay. But how will that affect her? I think they're going to go after her. And I think that people up here in upstate should think about the fact that Kathy Hochul thought that Byron, dumb as a box of rocks, Brown, did such a great job as mayor for 20 years that Kathy Hochul doubled his taxpayer-provided pension. That's right. You and I, the taxpayers, we're going to give Byron, dumb as a box of rocks, Brown, double the pension that he would have had had he just retired from his current salary. But no, he and his merry men are now running the gaming there down in Batavia. And of course, Byron needs Steve Casey to tell him what to do and how to work, because the work, real work, is done by Casey. And then he needs Mike DeGeorge to tell him what to say. So if you think that Byron Brown did such a great job, we'll vote for Kathy Hochul and her doubling of his pension. But what is it? You got Ryan, the mayor of Buffalo, going down begging Kathy for money, begging them, and having to raise taxes extraordinarily because of Byron Brown and Dave Rivera on the council and the rest of the council who rubber stamped Byron, dumb as a box of rocks, is Brown.
Hey, Patrick, I'm up against the break. If you want to continue, or if you say you take issue with something I said, please hold during the break. I want to hear the rest of your call on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hour number two on this beautiful Friday. Thank you so much for making us a part of your weekend. As I say every Friday, I know many of you got to work at noon on Fridays in the summer, or don't even have to go in the office Fridays in the summer. You still listen to us, and me, David, Susan, Brian, Tom, and Tom, we all appreciate you listening to us. Whatever you're doing, maybe some gardening, maybe you're outside and the kids are playing with their outside toys and you're sitting on the patio, maybe enjoying a happy hour beverage, whatever it is you're doing. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. As I said, without the audience, I don't have a job. So thank you so much for listening to us here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Patrick on a cell. Patrick, I didn't want to rudely cut you off, so you can kick off this second hour.
Well, thank you, Joe. And, you know, just to reiterate, the city is broke. Ryan has to raise taxes through the roof, beg the state for money. And who made the city broke? It was dumb as a box of rocks, Byron Brown. But Kathy Hochul thought he did a great job and doubled his taxpayer-provided pension. I think it's disgusting. You know, there's a guy named Ken Hamilton. Everybody might know him from Niagara County.
Love Ken Hamilton.
Yeah. I never hear him on your show. You know, he used to offer up his insights on local politics. He's very knowledgeable. He was a regular on WBN. The last time he was on your station, he mentioned how unintelligent Byron Brown is and that everybody in politics knows it. And that's the last I ever heard from him.
Well, no, actually, Patrick, I don't mean to interrupt you, but Ken Hamilton was on the show a few weeks ago. We were talking about Niagara Falls, and Ken called in, and I think we got a segment out of him. And no, I always appreciate Ken Hamilton's expertise. He always has a place on this show. He knows that.
Yeah, because he does. He's very intelligent, and he knows how stupid Byron Brown is too, and he knows a lot about the other politicians here. It's disgusting.
I mean, let's not single out Byron Brown. There are a lot of politicians that are lacking intelligence that are still in power today, Patrick.
Yeah, I'm just looking at when you talk about downtown Buffalo and all the problems and all the big hole that he left and everything.
Yeah, I mean, he left the city broke. I will say to your point about the money from Hochul, the state did give Buffalo $75 million. Like, I do believe that would cut the deficit enough to where maybe taxes didn't need to go up as much as they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny how she came up with the money for Ryan, but when the former mayor from South Buffalo, Scanlon, went there, she told him, take a hike.
Well, of course. Of course. And, Patrick, I appreciate the call. But, yeah, I mean, Scanlon couldn't get the money when he's running in an election. Again, this all goes back. I hate to bring it up because I said I was done with it. But this all goes back to Zellner wanting to be in the state Senate. And he had Hochul and Poloncarz and everyone on his side. And, yes, anything Scanlon needed last year, he wasn't going to get from elected Democrats. He couldn't even get tagged in a picture by the county executive. The county executive acting like he still has his top eight from MySpace in 2004 wouldn't tag the mayor because he's petty, he's immature, and there was an election going on. He wouldn't tag the mayor in a picture on social media. You just know. I don't know. I mean, Pulling Cars is old, so he probably didn't have a MySpace. But you just know if he did, he was always looking. He was always keeping track of his top eight. Who my top eight friends are? I could see him. He probably wants MySpace to come back with top eight. 803-0930, star 930. Yeah, I'm not giving Byron Brown a pass. I will say 10 years ago, when Byron Brown was mayor, there was this feeling. I'm not sure how true it was, but there was a more positive feeling about downtown Buffalo than there is today. That's all I'm saying. And of course it doesn't stop downtown. You know, I'm begging people to email me, joe.beamer@wben.com, our residents on the east side of Buffalo, because I'd like to have some type of forum where we talk with east side voters about what are the pressing issues, what do they feel about lead in their soil, and what have elected Democrats done for the east side of Buffalo? What have they done for the east side of Buffalo? So yeah, it's not just downtown. I'm just saying, if downtown Buffalo was doing better, I do think that positivity would spread outward throughout the city and throughout Western New York. Now, these events that the mayor was announcing, and I applaud any effort to get people downtown, but of course my computer freezes. I would like to know from our listeners, 803-0930, star 930, of these events, which ones are you excited about? Okay? Home by 10 block parties. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Home by 10 series. So I probably will be at one of those with Jimmy. But that's on Chippewa. Eight venues will host a nostalgic dance party featuring 2000s, 90s and 2000s music. Hosted by the Chippewa Alliance, the events take place from 6 to 10. Tickets are $10. I will say that's something that interests me. That my generation, you know, because now it seems like the current younger generation doesn't like to go out. You know, I talk about when BMAZ and I went out for the first game of the World Cup. Or was it the second? No, it was the first of the World Cup. You know, usually when you go to a bar, there's a lot of younger people. I would say most of the people in that bar were mid-30s, were our age, or older. That one, awesome. Street Soccer Cup and World Cup Watch Party. I applaud the World Cup Watch Parties, but, I mean, you're going to get soccer fans, right? You're going to get soccer fans July 18th. So if the USA is not in the final, you're not going to get many people anyway. Pickle Fest. Now, pickleball is awesome, but you can play pickleball literally anywhere. Every town now has multiple. Most towns have taken their tennis courts and turned half of them into pickleball courts. But a pickleball tournament at Riverworks. Riverworks always has great stuff going on. Riverworks is not the problem. Riverworks is doing great. I might even sign up for that pickleball tournament. The main block party. Fountain Plaza, a free all-ages celebration led by the Buffalo Fashion Runway that features fashion, culture, music, family-friendly activities, and food. Yeah, I'm probably not going to that. That sounds, hey, if that's your cup of tea, that's great. I'm probably not going to that one. Circle the Square, September 26th. I won't be going to that. Virginia Tech plays that day. Niagara Square, a family-friendly relay from Go Bike Buffalo, where participants can ride bikes, scooters, rollerblades, and more. It's an attempt. I mean, maybe Jimmy will be there. He's a biker. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I want to be positive. I do. I think tonight's going to be awesome for downtown. But isn't it kind of sad that we're talking about, this momentous night for Buffalo because there's two events going on? I mean, could you imagine if you're listening from, you know, I go back to 40 years ago, Buffalo is double the size of Nashville. 40 years later, Nashville is double the size of Buffalo. You know, and 40 years ago, I bet there was more going on in Nashville than there is tonight. And we're like, oh my gosh, isn't this great? But that should be every weekend. You know, And God bless the Bisons. They're the one consistent summer event in downtown Buffalo, and they deserve all the credit. They have one of the best-run minor league baseball organizations in the country, and we are so fortunate to have them. But really, the Bisons, most weekends downtown, are the only game in town. And yes, you can point to Byron Brown. You can point to Chris Scanlon, Sean Ryan, Mark Poloncarz. And you can ask this question. Why are there so many businesses that don't want to get involved in downtown events? You know, you want to applaud all these businesses that do. But what about the ones that don't? What about the people who have downsized their offices in Buffalo? What about the people who have left Buffalo? We never want to ask them for like an exit interview. Why did you leave? 803-0930, star 930. On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, someone points out another problem. They just got off the 190 at Canal Side, and they're charging $50 to park. Now, $50 to park might be the norm in Boston, might be the norm in other cities. It's not the norm in a city where the median household income is $40,000+ under the national household income. Okay? You have to work with the real numbers here. The median household income in Buffalo is $40,000 less than the national average. The county is $10,000 under the national average. Which, by the way, also proves the lie about raising the minimum wage. Raising the minimum wage did not help the economy. If anything, it hurt the economy even more. 803-0930, star 930. While we're talking about Buffalo, I want to hear from not only those of you who are still here and might leave one day. You know, I always say I will stay here as long as I can. I love Buffalo. I love Western New York. I love my job. My wife has a good job. I love the people here. But I see a certain direction when it comes to politics that, I don't know. You just don't know what the future holds. I hope Buffalo's trajectory turns around. I want to see a vibrant Buffalo. I want to see a promising future for Buffalo. And you know what? I hope I see it in my lifetime. However, the reality is people are leaving. I mean, you watch any local show, you listen to any local show, there's a good chance you're going to hear about movers moving people to Florida, to South Carolina, to Georgia, etc. Alex Tuck left Buffalo. He was traded to, well, he was signed in trade. He told Buffalo he wasn't going to resign. And Alex Tuck told the Buffalo News, "Leaving Buffalo was one of the hardest decisions of my life. My question to you, 803-0930, star 930. Would or did you feel the same about leaving Western New York?" 803-0930. Star 930. Again, Alex Tuck said leaving Buffalo was one of the hardest decisions of his life. Would or did, because we have a lot of people listening on the Odyssey app outside of New York State, would or did you feel the same about leaving Buffalo yourself? 803-0930, star 930. Gets you on the program. It gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I want to know, what would the emotions be like if you had to make that decision? If you were on your way out. Also on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, a city of around 300,000 people or so can't have a coffee shop open past 4 o'clock. That's really a bad sign for Buffalo. Yes. Yes, thank you. One person was making fun of that earlier. Yes. Down 300,000 people in Buffalo. The metro is 1.2 million. Or maybe that might be an old number, Jimmy. But it's around a million if you count the metro. You have a popular, this isn't, you know, this is a popular coffee shop. Spot Coffee, if you live in Buffalo, in Western New York, is a popular coffee place. We're not talking about some no-name coffee place. Spot Coffee is wildly popular, but they don't have the traffic to stay open past 4 p.m. in downtown Buffalo. That is concerning news for a city that doesn't want to lose another restaurant, for a city that wants to bring nightlife back. for a city that wants people to move downtown. That's not great news when a business like that moves up their closing time to 4 p.m. It might sound like nothing to a lot of people. It might sound like a moot point. I think it's more of a serious indication, because this isn't elected officials talking. This is a business saying, we are losing money staying open later. That's a problem for Buffalo. And it's been a problem for a while. I mean, the Tim Hortons in the Liberty Building, I think, closes at 5. Like I said, if we're comparing Buffalo to when the Duck was here 10 years ago to when the Duck is here now, yes, the waterfront improvement. You got skating in the winter down there. They've done a great job. The middle of downtown is a dead zone. It's an absolute dead zone. Nothing has changed in 20 years. If anything, it's gotten worse. 20 years ago, there were still a few shops at the Main Place Mall. There was still a Foot Locker, a Radio Shack, which doesn't exist anymore. But there was still stuff to do on Main Street. Don't get me wrong. There's a very nice cigar shop on Main Street in downtown Buffalo. But for the most part, that middle part, when offices are closed on the weekends, it is a dead zone. One of the popular bars there has closed, went out of business. So you can drive your car down Main Street again. Where are you going on Saturday afternoon? That's the question. And as I continue to say, I don't want these to be realities. I want downtown Buffalo to be as hopping every night, every weekend, as it's going to be tonight. So I'm not cheering for the demise of Buffalo. I want the biggest turnaround. I want a turnaround comparable of the 2024 Mets, okay? But we have to point out the realities. Our elected officials want to ignore the realities. They think if they just give you some lip service and say, yeah, it's safe downtown, you'll say, oh, well, I'll ignore the news and go downtown. They don't realize, oh, they want to see the force. They want to see the officers. They want to see the security. This is what we're dealing with. 803-0930, star 930. Alex Tuck said leaving Buffalo was one of the hardest decisions of his life. If you left Buffalo, would it be the same? Would you feel the same way? Or when you left Buffalo, did it feel the same way? 803-0930, star 930. Joe Beamer with you. When we come back, we'll take your calls on that. I'd love to hear some perspective. But also, one of the worst moments in game show television history I witnessed yesterday. Now, this is an old clip, and people may have seen it, but there's a show called The Family Feud. I'm sure you've all watched it. Steve Harvey does a great job. There is one of the showdowns, you know, when the two people from the family have to get 200 points. I saw a clip yesterday. I'm not sure this person was invited to Thanksgiving dinner after the showing they gave in the final feud. Is that what they call it? At the end of the show. I have to play it for you. Because, you know, on Fridays, I like to have a little fun. And we're going to have a little fun at this person's expense. So we're going to play that for you. We're going to take your calls on emotions, if you ever had to, or if you have left Buffalo. What are your emotions? You know, I know a lot of people. I mean, obviously, a lot of people my age don't live here anymore. I know a lot of people who left after school, right? They love Buffalo. They love the Bills. They love the Sabres. They love coming back. They love the food. But they just couldn't make it work. They couldn't. They couldn't, with whatever their career path was, they couldn't stay in Buffalo. And I know a lot of people, it's heartbreaking they don't live here. It's heartbreaking they're not here when the Bills are making playoff runs or when the Sabres are making a playoff run. How would you feel? 803-0930, star 930. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back.
Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the final segment here on News Radio 930 WBEN for me, Joe Beamer. Tom Bowerly is up next. Don't touch that dial. Let's go to the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board asking you if you would feel the same as Alex Tuck. Alex Tuck says that leaving Buffalo, of course I don't have the thing right here, says leaving Buffalo was one of the hardest decisions of his life. Would you feel the same about leaving Buffalo, or did you feel the same? 803-0930-930. Texter says, just left Buffalo permanently, and at first, it was hard, but almost 2 weeks in Florida. Can't complain about a thing. Even found good food down here. Continues to say, everything is definitely cheaper down in Florida. Stuff is open. The roads are amazing compared to Buffalo, plus the people down here are nice, much more pleasant, and the sun shines every day. Another person says, hi, Joe. People do not go downtown anymore because they don't feel safe. Yes, the numbers are down on crime because there are no people going out at night anymore. Yeah, I mean, you can preach numbers all you want. It's how people feel. It's the same thing I say about election integrity. You can be a suit and say, well, our stats, our numbers say, but if you don't do anything about it, people are not gonna trust the system. Again, you can tell people your crime numbers are down, but if they go downtown and they don't see a police officer, they don't see patrol out, well, they're not gonna feel safe. Like, that's what people are asking for. That's what people are asking for. And either our elected officials are too dumb to realize it, or they know, but they're not gonna do anything about it, so they play dumb. It's one or the other. There's really no other option there. Another texter says, spot across from Hampton Inn on Chippewa, closing at 4. That is bad. Yeah, I told you guys. Another texter on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board says, I wanted to stay because even though at the time, Buffalo was a lot cheaper than other cities, we had fairly good jobs and we knew we could afford a new house. We said we have to stay in Buffalo to wait until the Bills win a Super Bowl. Now we're happy that we're here in Florida and we're not going. Okay, of course, it breaks up the text. Another person says, I don't think I could bear leaving. I love Western New York. I mean, that is the feeling of a lot of people, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love going to the beach. I love going to Florida, right? But I do love Western New York. I like four seasons. As much as I complain about winter being way too long, I like having four seasons. I like the chance that we have a snow-covered Christmas. I do love it here. But, I mean, life is getting... You have people running on affordability, but their policies are making life in New York State even more expensive. You literally have people saying that they're going to make life more affordable while their policies are doing the exact opposite. And yes, when businesses leave, jobs leave. You know, we have the outlet mall. And now you might say, well, Joe, stop talking about retail all the time. There's almost 1,000 jobs in that mall. And it is on a similar trajectory as the Boulevard. On a larger scale, obviously. But if those shops continue to leave, I don't care if you throw $15 million in tax credits or not. If the stores continue to leave, the jobs leave. We focus so much on the business as well. This restaurant's not there. We can't go to this restaurant anymore. But it's more than that. Those are jobs. That's economic impact. If they continue to leave, well, people are, if there's no good jobs here, people are going to leave. And, you know, I know I harp on the minimum wage thing way too much, but if you continue to raise the minimum wage and the difference in pay between the part-timer who comes in for 10 to 15 hours a week and the manager or someone in management, in that pay gets, you know, the pay to aspire to get to becomes less and less, well, people aren't going to be filling those jobs anyway. Right, if you're going to make $17 the day you start, what are you working your way up to? 20, 21? Businesses can only pay so much. They can only raise the prices so much on their customers. I continue to say that. 803-0930, star 930. So I love game shows. We've talked about this. I love game shows. Wheel of Fortune is by far my favorite because I feel I could get lucky and say the right letters enough to put a puzzle together. Even though the final puzzles are becoming phrases that I've never heard in my life. So I love game shows. I saw this come across. Now, this is from 12 years ago, and I'm just seeing it now. But this is the fast money on Family Feud. The guy in the first round got 182 points. So Anna, this lady here, only needed to get 12 points. This is, I get very uncomfortable in situations like watching this, I will cringe, I will get uncomfortable. But you have to hear this. This might be one of the worst performances I have ever seen. This might be worse than the guy who got the $100 question wrong on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Okay? Now, I'm going to break it down with you as we're listening here. This is from Family Feud 12 years ago, but it's new to me. Here, Steve Harvey will explain what's going on.
Tim got 182 points.
I told you I'd do it for Anna. All right, get in here.
How many points?
Now, just remember going into this, they could have picked anyone else. Jim was obviously a great pick. You're going to hear that Anna was not a great pick. Anna was not a great pick, but we continue.
So you need Anna?
I need 18.
That's all you need.
That's all 18. I need.
As you can tell, I failed math. Yes, she needs 18, not 12. We continue.
Let's remind everyone of Tim's answers. 25 seconds on the clock, please. Here we go. We asked 100 single men, on a scale of 1 to 10, what chance do you have of dating a girl who's a 10?
4.
Name a kind of place where people keep checking their watch.
At the airport.
Try again.
Restaurant.
Name a noisy insect.
It's pass.
Name something a person's belly does.
Growls.
Try again.
Throws up.
Fill in a blank. A married couple might be deeply in what?
Love.
Try again.
Marriage.
Oof.
That was bad.
Five does.
We need 18 points. Let's go.
Okay.
We asked 100 single men on a scale of 1 to 10, what chance do you have of dating a girl who's a 10? You said 4. Survey said.
By the way, that was her best answer. And she got 0. That's the only one that maybe could have had points. Right? Yeah, you got a 4 out of 10 chance. She got 0.
5 was the number one answer. Name a kind of place where people keep checking their watch. You said restaurant. Survey said doctor's office and church was tied for the top. Name a noisy insect. You said a Okay, cricket was the number one answer. Name something a person's belly does. You said, throws up. Survey said, growls was the number one answer. Fill in the blank, a married couple might be deeply in what? You said, marriage. Survey said,
oof.
Oof. Love was the number one answer. I'm sorry, folks.
Ooh, how could you? Is Anna getting invited to Thanksgiving dinner? I don't think so. That is painful. Poor Jim. Poor Jim got 182 points. Do you know how difficult that is on Family Feud to get 182 points? She got zeros right down the line. I feel bad. This is 12 years ago. I wonder where Anna is. That was 12 years ago. I still feel bad. I feel bad for Jim. Everyone's talking about, oh, poor Anna. What about poor Jim? He crushed it. He crushed it. Do you realize? Again, if you've never watched the show, I apologize. Do you realize that if she had gotten 18 to win, getting only 18 is still an awful round on Fast Money? And that's all she needed. She needed an awful round of 18. Straight zeros. My gosh. That's tough to watch. It's tough to listen to. Afterwards, they're all hugging her. I mean, what are you going to do? You're on TV. What are you going to say, what the hell were you thinking? Deep in marriage? You said you could do this. And you know, we all know this person, right? Jimmy, we all know this person. I guarantee she said, hey, guys, I can do Fast Money. Yeah, sign me up. I'll do Fast Money next to Uncle Jim or whoever Jim was. I'll do Fast Money. I can do it. Hey, Anna, do you want to do like a refresher with cards and stuff? No, I can do Fast Money. I'll be great at this. I know this stuff. She got zeros. Like, you know, there's a backstory that makes it even more embarrassing when the cameras are turned off. She was probably like, of course, of course. Hey, who wants to do Fast Money? Like, I would never raise my hand. I don't want to do Fast Money. I'd suck at that, right? So no, I won't do it. Anna, you can do Fast Money? Great. You think like when they got back to the hotel that night, they're like, so, Anna's not doing Fast Money tomorrow. Because as you know, on Family Feud, you go back the next day, right? You go back the next day on Family Feud. Until you get beat by another family. So they probably got back to the hotel and said, all right, we're all in agreement. Anna, you're not. you're not doing Fast Money tomorrow. Jim, you got to get us 182 again. Oh, that was awful. That was awful. Let's go to Sam in Williamsville. Hey, Sam, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, hey Joe, how are you doing? Yeah, I wanted to rewind back to that topic about the city of Buffalo. And
of course, of course.
This and that. I don't know. It seems like that's a common theme, you know, for a lot of people. And first of all, I'm not a native Western New Yorker, although I've been here 26 years. So I do have a little bit of a, you know, I've been around, seen other cities. I think Buffalo is, quite frankly, is a really nice town. I've adapted to the Four Seasons as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's a leadership problem and in a lot of different arenas. But and I don't think we've held people to account for if the initiative is to keep events and people downtown. I think you're only going to get, in most towns, the majority of them leave to go back home to the northern suburbs. In many cases, it takes a long time to get back there. In other towns, in Buffalo, it doesn't. We don't position it or sell it right. And somehow or other, we're not holding people accountable for that. I think it could have been yesterday. I've got a couple ideas. I don't want to share them now, but that, and I don't know even who to call. I thought somebody in the business partnership might be a person. So I just, at random, I took a look at the executive committee and the team and what they were responsible for. And I just picked somebody and wrote just an email that I might be able to, you know, offer some insight. I didn't have anybody follow up. That's not that unusual these days. But I just don't think they are. It's a leadership problem. If the initiative is to get things improved, they're not getting it done. So I mean, when normally that happens in the private or corporate world, you don't keep your job.
Yeah.
You just don't. You know, that's the way it operates, you know.
But Sam, another problem is they throw money at the wrong thing. I mean, they threw hundreds of thousands of dollars at Braemiller. They're closed a year later. Like, so when they do spend money, the decisions they make, they're wasting money on failed projects.
That's true too. You know, the I think they were I don't want to try to be too critical, but objectively, I guess an honest person would say they have narrow-minded visions, and they don't think outside the box about what will work and give it the best shot that they can. I would like to know what analysis they go through. I went down. I attended the mayor's event with Rocco Termini, a couple other people that were down there. I just went down to see what was going on. And quite honestly, it just seemed like it was low level, you know, from an organizational standpoint. I sat and listened to all the speeches. You're not going to get people downtown by throwing up a pickleball net, all right, once every so often when the weather's conducive to that kind of thing. You will get them down for concerts. Now, that's a proven win-win.
Yes.
To the best of my knowledge. That draws people. So the quality of the musicians, of the groups, that draws a lot of people. The issue with that, again, one of the variables is is security.
Yes.
And they don't do a good job of that on an ever consistent basis, in my opinion. I don't go down there unless I have a business meeting or a reason to go downtown. I'm from the area you are, the North Towns. And I got to tell you, I really think, and I've lived in Dallas, I've lived in Virginia Beach, I've lived in Texas, I've traveled all over. I really think that the North Towns, at Clarence, at Amherst, Williamsville quadrant, or triangle, if you will, it's one of the nicest places I've ever lived. It has so much going on for it. And the proximity of Buffalo is helpful, you know, we've got two sports teams, but everything's of a pretty high quality compared to where I've lived. But if I keep it in its proper perspective, and they sort of have it going on, they can improve things, but they, you know, it's a nice culture out here. I mean, everything, the school systems are great, quality of food's great, close proximity to Canada, close proximity to two world-class professional sports teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice town. People are nice. Crime's not too bad. You know, I think one time when I first moved here, Amherst is the safest city in the United States.
But that's the thing. You know? That's the thing, Sam. And unfortunately, we're up against the end of the show, but that's the thing. Like, Amherst was a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, you know what? Yeah, I love Amherst and I love Williamsville and I love Clarence and I love Buffalo. And you're right. The people are great. The food's great. It's the people making decisions. It really comes down to, we have had I hate to be critical on a Friday, but we've had incompetent leadership making some of the worst decisions to put us in the situation that we're in.
Yeah, they just don't get it. They really need they need some help, and they can get it. But you know, I don't know. It's like I've got a couple of ideas. I think they would probably reject it because it's
of course
not their
they only
idea.
They only talk to their friends. They only it's they're getting advice from the same people. That's the problem. Sean Ryan's getting the advice from the same people Brian Brown was getting advice from. Hey Sam, I always appreciate your calls, but I got 30 seconds and I don't want to get into Tom's show. Appreciate Sam in Williamsville. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, shout out to the businesses, right? M&T Bank always there to help to support and sponsor the city of Buffalo. Riverworks and the Pearl Street companies always there to support the city of Buffalo, put their name, try anything to get people downtown. And I think Rocco Termini is another one. They all deserve credit. It does come down to leadership, and it comes down to, for a city that has no money, making some awful financial decisions. But you know, hey, I will continue rooting for Buffalo. And whenever Sean Ryan wants my help on anything, he's got my phone number. Thank you so much for the calls, the texts, social media interactions. You have anything happening over the weekend, you want to reach out to me, joe.beamer@wben.com. Don't miss on Sunday. We'll be joined by Terry McGuire, Mitch Nowakowski, and others. We'll talk to you at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Jimmy, thank you so much for pulling the long shift today. Perfect, brilliant, amazing guy. Jimmy Stelliano, thank you. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Sunday at 10 on WBEN.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.